Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Side with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of my day, and thank you for allowing me to be part of yours. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Use it to your advantage. Check it out, and don't forget we got thousands of archives and thousands of articles, lots and lots of stuff there. We'll help you out, and more to come. Don't forget the blog, by the way. We've got our blog there and our newsletter, our free newsletter. The blog's free, too. The newsletter comes to you every Sunday afternoon, gets you ready for the week ahead, and all that's free thanks to our outstanding corporate partners. Beverly N. Menebel is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of our top communication experts. She is the author of so many books, I can't see over them. My favorite is Talk Is Not Cheap. She's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you back, except under the circumstances, you have some physical pain.
I do.
And I just want to say to the audience, ladies and gentlemen, Beverly has had one of these nightmare occurrences to happen to her with regard to being a consumer. She bought a product, and the product turned out to have an alien object in it, and it wound up hurting her. And what she's doing here today is to tell us about that event and to tell us about what happened following that event, how the company handled it, and what you and I can learn, Beverly. I know you're going to help me with this. What we can all learn from this experience in terms of how to take care of our customers when things don't go as we expected them to.
That's right, Jim. This was a real wake-up call as a business owner about customer service. We all talk about it. But on October the 30th, I stopped in at a drive-thru at Arby's restaurant in Calhoun, Georgia, to get a chicken salad wrap. And about, I don't know, several exits down on the interstate, I open it, and I take a bite, and it's great. I take the next bite, and I bite down on something so hard that it was just jolting. And I'm thinking,
what did you think? What did you think? It was a bone or something?
I thought it was a chicken bone.
Yeah.
So I reach in my mouth, and I pull out a screw, a big, big, dirty black screw, and it startled me so much that I swerved my car into the other lane. And, you know, luckily there wasn't a truck there. There wasn't a
right.
car there. So I immediately call the store. I tell them, because I'm concerned that somebody coming behind me.
There may be a sack of screws back behind you or something.
That's right, or a bolt or something,
yeah.
You know.
So your first, wait a minute, time out. Your first thought was to help the company not hurt anybody else.
That's right. So, because I had their receipt, so I dig it out. I tell them who I am. I gave them my cell phone number. I told them I have an appointment in Atlanta with a client. I can't come by now. Throw out the batch. Check your equipment. Here's my phone number, and I'll be back between 4 and 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody called me.
What did the person say who answered the phone?
I asked for the manager, and this woman identified herself as a manager. I later found out she really wasn't the manager,
right.
That the manager was on staff, but evidently she felt empowered to handle this.
But what did she say to you?
She just said, oh, my, I can't believe that. Oh, my, oh. I mean, didn't ask me any questions, you know, are you okay or any of that, just kind of shock.
But acted somewhat concerned, sounds like.
Okay, so I stopped back.
The only reason I say that, Beverly, is because I've never told anybody, I've never given anybody that story that you said, because I've never had that happen to me. But I have told companies things that they should have been upset about, and they acted like, well, so what? What's your problem?
Right.
So
well,
at least the person.
That would be Arby's restaurant group that showed.
Okay, we're gonna get to that. Go ahead, Beverly.
So I stopped by the restaurant at 4:15, and I bring the remains of the sandwich and the screw, and I walk in, and I ask for.
So how much pain are you in now?
I was able to function that day with my client. Of course, I mentioned.
But you weren't bleeding or anything like that, right?
No, I had a pain going up into my temple area.
You knew you had some tooth damage at this point.
Oh, sure. In fact, I called my office and said, get me an emergency appointment with my dentist tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Just can't wait. It's got to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I stopped back by, and I asked for this woman who had identified herself as the manager, and she's working, and so I have to wait for her, and that's okay. And then this other man comes up and identifies himself as, I'm the person in charge. Well, eventually I talked to both of these people. Mm-hmm. I asked them if they had thrown out the batch of chicken salad. The response I got was, I don't know. Did you check the equipment? I don't know. Who's the owner of this store? Because it's a franchise. They told me.
Oh, it is a franchise. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then I say, may I have his number, please, so I can contact him? We're not allowed to give you that.
Holy mackerel.
Now, then I find out, don't worry, the store manager has called him. I said, I thought you were the store manager. The store manager was there during that day.
Right.
He didn't even stay to talk to me.
Wow. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, folks. There's some lessons in here for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Besides the chicken wrap story. Stand by. 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. A little Chicago for you. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. We're visiting with Beverly in Minneapolis. She's continuing this little horror story that she experienced. And if you just tuned in, she went to an Arby's, bought a chicken wrap, bit down on a screw. And now we're trying to get her first reaction was to get the company to check the batch of food so they didn't hurt anybody else. And you found out they didn't do that.
I found out they told me they didn't know if they did that. And they were present.
Uh-huh.
So I find out the manager, you know, was there when it happened. She didn't call me, but I was told, don't worry, the manager has your name and phone number, and she's
right.
already called the owner, so he knows. And I said, well, they need to call me because I've got to go to the dentist tomorrow.
Right.
Nobody called me
and
that
see,
Monday.
Let me stop you for a second, Beverly, because, folks, this is a pivotal moment in a situation like this. Well, you have an opportunity to turn this to defuse this bomb or let it explode in front of you.
That's right.
The quicker you can get in front of these things, you don't have to say, I'm sorry. I mean, if your attorneys have said, don't apologize or whatever, you know, whatever language you want to use, what they said to you wasn't as important as the fact that they didn't even respond to you.
Right.
And, I mean, so folks, whenever someone has a problem, the quicker you can get in front of it and talk to them about it, the much more likely you are to diffuse a potential serious problem.
That's right. And you're right, Jim. I agree. As a communication expert, you don't have to say that much. You have to listen. You have to be asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And simply by asking those questions and showing concern on your face and writing things down gives the consumer at least a perception that, you know, that you're listening to them.
Right.
That you're taking this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody called me on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And I have a lot of, you know, clients, and I was mentioning this. I was upset.
But now you got some pain, too.
I've got pain. The dentist tells me that.
It didn't break a tooth.
It crushed the roots.
But you think it crushed, the dentist thinks it crushed the roots.
Roots, uh-huh.
Yeah, which is maybe worse.
Yeah, well, it means I would lose a tooth.
Yeah, and plus you're in pain.
Yes, I'm in pain.
All right.
So by Wednesday, a television station calls me. They've heard of this. And
how did they hear about it?
Because I told my clients that I see. I do individual coaching, mm-hmm. and, you know, one person tells another.
That little Arby's had no idea who they'd messed with, did they?
That's right.
This redheaded communication expert with a few contacts and more moxie than the law allows. They didn't know what they didn't know what they'd gotten into, did they?
No.
Go ahead.
They probably did not. But when the television station called, I said, no, I want to give them another chance because I had looked up on Hoover's and I found the number and the officers of Arby's Restaurant Group in Atlanta, Georgia. I called that afternoon and talked to a senior vice president in charge of franchises, mm-hmm. the franchise store. She told me, she promised me that someone would call me by noon the next day. She told me two people that would call me, and if they didn't, she would personally call me by noon. She didn't call me. The television station called me again that morning. I said, no, 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 no. They're going to call me back.
Wow.
But no one called me that afternoon, and they called me back. The TV at 1 o'clock, I said, okay, maybe this will get their attention. Television stations go down there. Oh, all of a sudden, the franchise owner shows up, talks to them. Then he calls the television station before he calls me.
To complain?
I don't know for sure, but let's just say that this news story did not run
folks,
on television station.
Oh, really?
Oh, really.
They did. They came down, but they didn't run it.
They didn't run it
wow.
after Arby's called them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy now, mackerel.
Now, so this gentleman calls me, but I was told by the reporter that he'd known since Tuesday. This is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And when this man calls me...
Now, who called you?
Philip Beamer, the owner of this...
Oh, he is the owner. Okay.
He's the owner of this restaurant. He is,
mm-hmm.
too. And he tells me that he blames it on his managers for not calling me.
Mm-hmm.
The words out of his mouth. It's their fault.
Yeah.
Okay? And then when I ask about the screw, he says, well, that's Arby's problem because I buy this in prepackaged containers.
Right.
Now, what kind of response is that?
Right.
Now, he does tell me... He's
well,
sorry.
See, here's what happens sometimes. This is classic because how many times have you taken something back to someone? And this happens in small businesses too, folks. Don't let this happen to you, Beverly. You take it. You take something back, and they say, "Oh, that's the manufacturing defect. You'll have to take that to the manufacturer." But
right.
I bought it from you. Yes,
right.
but we don't handle that.
That's right.
That's a big mistake.
That's right. And my response, you know, my thought, I'm not sure what I said at that moment, but my...
Well, you don't have to, you know, this is a family show, so I don't want you to...
Well, I won't be that detailed. But my thought was, you know, that I, as a consumer, went to your store and expected to get consumable product.
Right.
And I didn't. So don't be pushing the blame on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, accept the responsibility.
Especially
Step
since,
up to the
especially
plate.
Since there was no way to know where that came from. That could have fallen in without, you know, outside of the packaging.
Right. So then I call Arby's the next day, Arby's Restaurant Group in Atlanta. I call them the next day, and this time I ask for the customer relations person. She tells me she can tell I'm frustrated, and I said, yeah, because nobody's calling me. And she
now,
promises
did
she'll
you ever call
back in an hour.
Did you ever call the television company and ask them what the heck went on?
Yeah, I did.
What'd they say?
They said, oh, we're not sitting on it. We didn't kill it. We're sitting on it. We're waiting till the election's over.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Stand by. Well, the election's over. When we come back, we'll find out what they did. We're going to find out what Arby's did right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap and other books that you can find at talklisten.com, I think is the website, isn't it, Beth?
Yes, it is.
Talklisten.com. The books are available wherever books are sold. Beverly's had a tete-a-tete where she was injured by something that she ate at an Arby's, and she's not getting good service. She's not getting good response from them, hasn't up to now. And, you know, what they don't realize, Beverly, is who you are, what you're capable of, the tenacity that you have, and the fact that you write books.
And I speak.
Are you writing books? Are you going to write a book about this?
I am writing a book about this.
What's the title of the book?
The title of the book is Corporate Screw.
Uh-oh.
Because first there's a physical screw.
Yeah.
That was painful. But the bigger screw, really the screw that hurt more, Jim, was being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Because this second woman at Arby's tells me she will call me back within the hour. She doesn't call back.
Did she ever
ten
call back?
Ten days later, I call her again. No response for another week. They finally called me. Too late. In the meantime, I have called the health department. They were wonderful. I think it's the Gordon County Health Department. They went out, they checked, they called me back, they gave me the lowdown, and the man said, I'm sure I'm telling you stuff you already know. And I said, no, Shane, I know nothing. Arby's has not called me.
Wow.
I turned it into the Better Business Bureau.
Good.
I sent out a letter with pictures. I'm sure you got one.
I got one. It's
to
gross.
Everyone in my database. And it was so gratifying that friends across this nation and in nine different countries started writing me back and saying, I'm passing this on.
They screwed the wrong person, didn't they?
That's what so many people said. Another person put it on their blog. Another person turned it on, turned it over to a reporter.
So have you contacted an attorney yet?
It's never been my intention to contact an attorney.
Right.
I don't want to sue these people.
Has anybody with management at Arby's actually called you?
Last Wednesday, she wouldn't tell me her title, but someone from Arby's called me.
What'd they say?
And she said that that she was returning my call.
Huh.
And I said, well, you're a little late. And I told her all I wanted to know was what was their customer service process, that it would take them 3 weeks to call me back.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that since it was a franchise, that they turn it over to the franchise owner. And I said, well, that's a lousy system because, the big sign, the big orange
it doesn't say that
red
his name
cowboy
it said,
hat doesn't
right.
say Philip Beamer. It says Arby's in that view. Shame on you.
And what'd they say?
She said that she would report it to others.
So the resolution so far is they've turned it over to their insurance company, right?
Yeah, that's right. They have.
And so they're hoping that you'll accept their money to pay for the repair.
Mm-hmm. And go away quietly.
What are the chances of that happening?
It's not going to happen.
That ship has sailed, hasn't it?
But there's a lesson in this for all
of us. What would have happened if that very day you'd heard from the owner, you heard from Arby's, they apologized, they said, these are the steps we've taken to make sure this never happens again. What can we do to help you? Can we drive you home? What would you like for us to do? What if that had happened?
The same thing that would happen with a bank called AmSouth Bank here in Chattanooga. I parked my car there once for a local festival that was going on. Car got towed. There was a don't park here or we'll tow you sign, but it wasn't right where I'd parked, and so I write to the bank. And you know what they do? They pay me back for the towing. They take their signs down, and they welcome everyone to park there when there's festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's customer service.
That's getting out in front of it. And so you had the opposite experience with Arby's. So now you're writing a book. Now you're blogging about this. So, folks, that's the kind of thing that can happen if you let something like this just lie and don't get out in front of it. This is everything not to do it's everything to do to create bad PR.
That's right.
And maybe a lawsuit.
As consumers, I have no intention of suing these people. As consumers, we have such a small voice, but with the internet now, that voice is much larger. With radio shows
mm-hmm.
like yours, it's much larger. But not everyone would think of that or have the
right.
think that they have the access to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to be careful. This is a small world.
They messed with the wrong person when they messed with Beverly M. and Evil. Beverly, good luck with your tooth.
Thank you. And
thank you for sharing this story with us and helping us learn from it.
Thank you for making my voice a little bit louder, Jim.
We'll see you later. Beverly M. and Evil, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. More to come. Don't forget, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.